My text this morning is a desire. It is a desire born of a need that I see found in Acts chapter 17 at verse 6. Acts chapter 17 at verse 6. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the Light for the Lost councilmen to the rulers of the city, crying, "These have turned the world upside down, have come here also." Amen. Father, I pray that these words will be heard around the world. That these who have changed the world have come to our area of the world also. I pray that Light for the Lost shall take all the blinders off and see by faith the harvest field, and that we shall not grow weary, but rather we shall become revived and enthused with what God wants us to do. I pray that indeed we shall lift off limits and begin to place God in the midst of our planning and our execution. May Jesus be glorified in everything that is done in Light for the Lost. From the executive council rooms of the Light for the Lost committees into all of the banquets across this nation, into the hands of missionaries that spread this gospel through Light for the Lost literature. May everything that has been being done in headquarters and now being done in states and in countries, may it all glorify God and turn this world upside right. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It is a bit audacious for me to stand here and challenge you with these words, "Let's change the world." But in fact, my challenge to you this morning is from the head of the church. He came into this world and said these words to a small group of men who in the natural had no authority politically. They had no power materially and financially. They were not educated men. But he came into this world and said, "As the Father hath sent me, so send I you, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father." And I believe that if Jesus were here today, he would say, "Stop looking at the political problems, stop looking at the sin and the sorrow, but rather lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are ripe already to harvest. The world has its program and the world has its goals and its place. But friends, we have an incredible, marvelous responsibility and opportunity that the world cannot understand, because it comes from another world. It speaks into our life in another way. And so I say to you this morning, let's change the world. Let's do it. Why? Because the way the world is today is not acceptable to God. It is not acceptable and should not be acceptable to the church. It should not be acceptable to anyone in this place. We are here not to examine what is wrong with the world, but rather to change it and to say, it is not acceptable the way that it is, but we have the message and the answer that will indeed make it right and change this world. It is not our place to wring our hands. It's our place to speak with our voice. It is not our place to sit in complacency, but it is our place to rise up in the authority of Jesus Christ and go into the villages and the towns and the cities and make a difference for Jesus Christ. I am tired of the world affecting the church. I want the church to affect the world for a change and begin to see what God can do through a living Christ who is alive and real in this place this morning. He is triumphant. And because he lives, the world can live also. I believe we can change the world because we have the message to change the world. It is the good news that men and women have an antidote to their sin and to their problems. That no longer does man have to live in bondage. But there is a living message by the authority of a living Jesus who can make men and women whole by his power and by the word that we carry. John Currier was tried for murder and found guilty in 1949. In 1961, they found evidence that he was truly innocent. The governor commuted his sentence and he was set free, and the word was sent to the man, the out-prison work that they had done in near Nashville, Tennessee, in a test program. They had put good prisoners with heavy sentences in a kind of an out-prison program for agriculture. John Currier was assigned to a wealthy farmer, and he worked the fields for this wealthy man. Currier could not read, so the farmer, knowing that he had a good thing, withheld the good news and never told John Currier that he was free. 13 years later, someone was going through the files and stumbled upon this commuted sentence and had decided that they would do some research and an article of those who had been commuted and freed. To their horror, they had found out that this man had been working for the rich man 13 years, living in a small trailer and given dollars a week. John Currier was free but didn't know it. And as I travel the United States and travel the world, I see men and women in unnecessary bondage, bound by the powers of hell and deceived into thinking that life is just this way and there's nothing anybody can do about it. But life for the lost has some good news. For our Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that some would come to repentance. No, that all may come to repentance. That takes away all the barriers for our prayer and our effort, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not get all tied up in some kind of a worrisome theological discussion about whether or not in the foreknowledge or foreordination of God that some are doomed and some are saved. Let us instead look at that single statement. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's enough for us Ladies and gentlemen, that's enough for us. We can go on believing and go on praying because, thanks be to God, he has opened the door with his power and his grace and said, I've given the antidote, I've given the message, and as the Father sent me, so send I you. Now you go change the world by delivering the message and telling the world that they're free. I could stand here, for hours and talk about the condition of this world and not change one thing in this world. But I can stand here and speak the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. That's what Life for the Lost is all about. The name of Jesus, he is the good news. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. And let us not go with a message from the assemblies of God. Let's go with a message from the God of the assemblies. Jesus is alive. He's well. And he's loosing the prisoner. And he's healing the sick. And he's delivering the bound. In Jesus' name, change the world. You have the message. You have the message of deliverance. Let's go change the world, because secondly, we have the open doors. We can't, you know, we can't sit back and say, now, we don't have any opportunities because all the doors are closed. I tell you what, if you talk to John Bueno for a few minutes, you would see a man frustrated with opportunities. You talk to these men in Life for the Lost, and you'll find a bunch of men that are trying desperately to respond to the open doors. We've got more open doors. People are getting cold with the draft. It is unbelievable how many open doors we've got. I talked to my brother-in-law, Bob Hoskins, and he'll just look at me in perplexity. And he will say, presidents are calling me to their offices and saying, Mr. Hoskins, we know that the Word of God is the only hope for our nation. And we open all the schools to you. It is our desire that you give the Book of Hope to every school child in this nation, nation after nation after nation, coming to us and say, please, we need the Word of God. I was so deeply touched by a small nation that came to him, Iceland. Did you know that over 60% of the high school students are alcoholics? And they have a powerful drug in a bottle that is equal to 300% proof alcohol. And these kids are killing themselves. And the president of Iceland said to him, we don't care what the politics are all about. We just know that our children are dying, and we've got to have some hope. We've got to give them something to live for, and we believe the Book of Hope holds the answer to the needs. We have open doors here in America. You talk to some of the people in the inner cities, and they will tell you the same thing. Superintendents of schools are telling us now, we don't care about the politics. We are in a survival mode. We'll give you all kinds of opportunities. We don't care what the liberals are saying. We need help. We need some hope. We are opening the doors. And thank God, we still do live in a free country. Sometimes we forget that. And I think we must not shoot ourselves in the foot and look around at those things where we cannot go in this country and begin to look at the opportunities where we can go. And let's seize those and let's push open all the doors that we can and not sit and worry and fret over those that won't let us. Let's go where they will let us and make sure that every opportunity is grasped, because we have all kinds of opportunities in this country. Yes. The devil wants us to see every closed door. Oh, he delights in that. He is the devil of the closed doors. He wants to tell Light for the Lost in America, you know the Supreme Court, you know the Congress, you know your state government, you know your local planning commission, on and on ad infinitum. And if we're not careful, we'll forget we live in a free country.
Amen.
That there are ways. Glory to God, there are ways to conquer this nation. Because it is not by might nor power. But it still is by His Spirit. And if we get the spirit of faith that sees the doors that are open and go through them, and forget about any things that we can't do. God's given us enough that we can do to keep us busy 24 hours a day.
Right.
If we'll see the opportunities. You know, Joe Levesey is a testimony of what an American can do with a burning passion for Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, Joe doesn't look at the pedigree or the political badge. He doesn't worry about anything where he can't go. He is just busy witnessing of Christ wherever he does go. And I think that everybody in the Light for the Lost regiment ought to rise up by faith and say, look, let people worry about where they can't go. Let's go ahead and see open doors every day, every day, every day where we live. We have open doors around this world. Can I tell you that we have open doors around this world?
Right.
And I pray that each one of us in this great convention will be struck by this.
Amen.
As we see 147 general superintendents march into that arena tomorrow night with their contingencies. 147 general superintendents.
Oh, yeah.
As they come into that arena, what are they symbolizing? They are symbolizing 147 great big wide open doors.
Amen.
Where we can go to work and we can send Light for the Lost literature. And where our Light for the Lost councilmen can believe God and pray and send millions of dollars of literature through those open doors. You know what they are? They are simply doors opened from heaven that the good news of Jesus Christ can stream through to billions of people around this world. We have open doors to touch literally billions of people if we'll get up and go with it. General Superintendent has a burden for the Fire Bible. Thank God. We got a friend in Thomas Trask who loves Light for the Lost. I mean, the guys here will tell you that. But he's got a burden for the Fire Bibles, and I believe it's Wednesday night. We're going to take an offering. We're not going to, we, you know, the Assemblies of God is putting on a big celebration, and it's cost a ton of money. And there are some that would say and have said, boy, we really need that money from the folks on Wednesday night for expenses. But the general superintendent said, no, the Assemblies of God has always believed that if we'll take care of the mission of the church,
amen,
that the Lord,
hallelujah,
will take care of the business,
hallelujah,
of the church.
Hallelujah.
And I get so excited about these fireballs. I'm so excited about so many products, I'm getting poor. I say, sure, 5,000 here and 5,000 here. And then I begin to say, like that commercial where the guy says, I can do that, and then I can do that, and I can do that. And then he comes home and sits at the desk and looks and says, how am I going to do that? But these fire Bibles are incredible. The open doors into China is just incredible. And you hear me again, folks, there are places in China that the door is seemingly closed, but that doesn't keep us from 3 million hands reaching out for the Word of God, and we have the network to put for $8 into the hands of dying men and women and leaders in our churches throughout all of China. We can put a fire Bible in their hands, and praise God, that's an open door. And God's double-crossing the devil. Communism is a zero in the presence of the living God. Fully on communism. Let's preach Jesus, and let's go through the doors and break down every semblance of hell and see the glory of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And they read. I think about this, and I'm way okay. I'm way past my time, but I go, I get picturing in my mind as they tell me that these house churches all across China, millions of people meeting, some of those churches are hundreds of people, and maybe there's one Bible. Or maybe there's just a written portion of the Word of God. And when the pastor gets up to read, he then hands it to an usher and he takes it to the first row. And while he preaches, they hand that portion of Scripture down the line, so that the people can catch their hands for seconds the Word of God. And I think of the millions of Bibles gathering dust in our living rooms. And I've got a stack of 30 or 40 Bibles in both of my offices. And I think to myself, so help me God, I'm going to see to it that I can put as many Bibles into the hands of hungry people as I can. And I pray that through Light for the Lost, that there will not be a Chinese leader in heaven who will stand and say, I pled for a Bible for my people, and I never got one. I pray that millions will stand in the presence of God, and when it's time to give the rewards and the awards, that millions of Chinese Christians will stand and clap their hands and say, thank God, there were a bunch of people who saw open doors and stepped through them and gave us the lifeline, because the Word of God is the final answer. The Word of God is the final lifeline. There is no other answer, and we have the opportunity to go through the doors. And quickly, let me say, thirdly, I believe we have enough faith to change the world. I just really believe that. And I pray that we will realize that to change the world is the way Jesus changes it. One soul at a time. One soul at a time. We have a tendency to just look at the great masses and forget that one soul is a power center for God. That one soul changes his or her world forever. So when I say let's change the world, I'm saying let's change the world first of the individual. Let's not get discouraged about the numbers. Let's see by faith what it will be. And I was preaching yesterday morning again. I just sense that faith is this, that it isn't the way people are, but the way that people will be after we get done with them. That's what faith is all about. That's what Light for the Lost is all about. We believe that one at a time we can change the world, because you see, God is changing the world one person at a time. Let me prove it to you. Everybody that's saying, say amen.
Amen.
See there? He's changed your world, hasn't he? He's changed it forever. And if he has done it for you, he can do it for the next person. And he's also changed the world, church by church. You've got a, you know, one of the signs of a dead church in the Assemblies of God is a church with no councilman. Did you know that? You want to take the pulse of a life in the Assemblies of God, go looking for churches that have got a bunch of councilmen, and there you've got some life. But you want to go to a dead church, never heard a light for the lost. Can't afford to get involved in light for the lost. Dear God, help us. That's the death knell. Let's tell every pastor, if you want revival, let's get some alive light for the lost councilmen that are looking beyond themselves and seeing some vision. Amen? And it's not the only measurement, but boy, it's a good one. Because I tell you, the ladies are getting revived. It's time for the men to get going. Don't you think so? Hallelujah. And I really resent that woman clapping so hard now. And you know I'm being a bit facetious, but I'm being quite honest that I don't believe there's such a thing as an Assemblies of, true Assemblies of God church in spirit that hasn't given a dime to missions. I believe we ought to put those churches on probation. And a church that hasn't registered one soul for Jesus Christ in a year, that's a disgrace to the name. And it is time for the light for the lost councilman in every church to be a source of revival and change the world of their church through faith and impressing upon everyone else. We've got to go through these open doors to change our world. And I've seen countries changed. I think of Romania, where a bunch of Christian people said, we're not going to put up with it anymore. And we're going to march. They're not going to put this good man away. And they're not going to isolate him. And thousands upon thousands marched in that city in protest and said, you're not going to take away our pastor. You're not going to do it. And they said, is there a minister in this audience? And a Pentecostal brother shouted, here I am. And stood and cried, Jesus is Lord. And the electrifying message that Jesus is really in charge of Romania sent word to Ceausescu that his days were over. Ceausescu said, pears will grow on linden trees before I'm out of power. And in 3 days, he was dead. The students went all over Romania tying pears on linden trees. Because I've got news for you. Jesus is still Lord. And he is the head of this church. And he has said to the Light for the Lost councilman in 2000, go change the world. And I say, we're ready for it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go change the world. Amen. Amen.
Why don't you stand? Let's worship the Lord as Randy and Sharon come. Praise God. Brother Crabtree, thank you so very much for challenging us and preaching the Word of God to us. Praise the Lord.